All right, peripheral nervous system drugs now. So we talked about the general ANP, now we're going to talk about the drugs in particular, and we'll also talk a little bit about some of the diseases that they can be used to treat. But the diseases mostly is going to be next semester. All right, so we have two big categories, sympathetic drugs versus parasympathetic drugs. Now, sympathetic activators are sometimes called sympathetic agonists or sympatho, with an A, mimetics. So sympatho, sympathetic, mimetic from the word mimic. So it mimics the sympathetic nervous system. Blockers are called either sympatholytics, breakers of the sympathetic system, or they're called antagonists. And then we have the receptors down here. Now, over on the parasympathetic side, these are called, activators are called either parasympathomimetics or they're called agonists. Blockers are either called anticholinergics or antimuscarinics, and or parasympatholytics. You say it five times real fast. Yeah. Antagonists. And then the receptors, muscarinic and nicotinic. Okay. Now, for the test and for life, these are the drugs that you need to know from each class. So, of the muscarinic agonists, you need to know no agents, no drugs. You just need to know the class as a whole because they're not used that commonly. Muscarinic antagonists or anticholinergics, there are seven drugs that you have to know, and they're on a slide a little bit later. For ganglionic blockers, there are no specific drugs you need to know for this class. You just need to know the generality. For neuromuscular blockers, again, no drugs. Cholinesterase inhibitors, there is two, neostigmine and physostigmine. You need to know the difference between them and what they're used for. And that's it for cholinergic drugs. All right. So, muscarinic agonists. No drugs that we need to know here. We only use them for urinary retention. So if someone's retaining urine, we can try and make them pee because acetylcholine stimulates bladder contraction. We can use them to increase GI peristalsis. So if someone's got a slow colon, you could use it to try and push it along a little faster. And we use them for glaucoma and eye surgery. And really, this is the most common use for them. Now, adverse effects. The adverse effects are basically the effects of too much acetylcholine. So too much acetylcholine will cause slowing of the heart. Brady means slow, cardia, heart, slow heart. Hypotension, hypo meaning low, tension, pressure. So low blood pressure. Causes excess gland secretion, so a person can get excess saliva. They're going to get cramps. They can possibly get GI cramps and have diarrhea because you're speeding up the bowel too much. And then you could have too much urine, which is going to be incontinence. Now, it's contraindicated in a person who's got a bladder obstruction. Because if someone's got a bladder obstruction and you're giving a drug that's causing the bladder to squeeze harder, you can cause a rupture. So that would be, in the colloquial term, bad. So don't give it to these people. And then it can also cause asthma to be exacerbated because it can cause bronchoconstriction, which in turn will cause the bronchi to get worse in asthma. All right, muscarinic poisoning is when you get too much of this stuff. And there's two reasons we can get it. There's two types of drugs that increase acetylcholine. One is the muscarinic agonists, and the other is cholinesterase inhibitors. We'll talk about those in a little bit. Also, mushrooms have muscarine in them, and you can get muscarinic poisoning from mushrooms, but those mushrooms usually kill you from other things before you ever get toxic on the muscarine itself. So, don't worry about that. Full of trivia. Symptoms. Too much acetylcholine, everything we just talked about. The treatment for muscarinic poisoning is atropine, which is an anticholinergic. All right. Now, anticholinergics, the next drug. See, that was pretty simple. All you have to know is those agonists, they do that stuff. Now, anticholinergics. There are 7 drugs that you need to know. So atropine is the strongest, and it's used for a lot of different things. Oxybutynin and taltiridine are both used for urinary incontinence. Scopolamine causes sedation, and we use it for motion sickness. Ipratropium and tiotropium we use in the lungs for asthma and for emphysema and chronic bronchitis. And then dicyclamine, known as Bentyl, is used for irritable bowel syndrome and diarrhea. So you need to know these 7 drugs and what they're used for. All right, so let's talk about atropine because it's kind of the general one. If you know atropine, you'll have an idea of how the rest work. All right, the way it works is by blocking muscarinic receptors. And at high doses, it'll also block nicotinic receptors as well. Now, the way we give it, we can give it by mouth, we can give it topically in the eye, or we can give it by injection. Pharmacological effects. Increases heart rate. Why does it increase heart rate? Okay, so it's blocking parasympathetic. So when it blocks parasympathetic, you raise heart rate. What does it do to contraction? Increases it. Didn't we just warn you about that? I said, I'm going to ask you a question on the test. And it's going to be a drug that affects the parasympathetic system. And you're going to get it wrong because you're going to put down contraction. So the only thing it does is heart rate. And in this case, we're blocking acetylcholine, so it will speed it up. So atropine, heart rate. Atropine blanks heart rate. Increases. Does it do anything to contraction? No. Do not be confused. Do not let Angela lead you astray. All right, secretions. Because we're blocking acetylcholine, it will lower secretions. So, lower GI tracts, tears, and salivary glands. So, typical side effects would be dry mouth, dry eyes. It will decrease smooth muscle contraction, so a person will have less peristalsis, less urination. So you could use this for someone who's incontinent, or maybe has too much diarrhea, or cramps. It will dilate the eye, cause mydriasis, so you can use it if you need to dilate the eye. And then it will also cause increased central nervous system excitability. So kind of makes people feel a little hopped up. Because what does the sympathetic system normally do? Tell you to slow down, relax. And now all of a sudden you're... Ooh, this is fun, yeah. Parasympathetic. Sorry, para, not simpa. Okay, now therapeutic uses. We use it for pre-anesthesia. Make sure the heart doesn't stop. A lot of the anesthetics that we use for general anesthesia slow down the heart, and you can actually make a person go into cardiac arrest or go into like a fatal bradycardia. So to prevent that, you can give a person atropine. Eye surgery, we use it to dilate the eye. If a person has bradycardia already, we can use it to increase their heart rate. If they've got intestinal hypermotility or hypertonicity, you can use it to slow down the intestines. And then we can use it in the case of muscarinic agonist poisoning. Now, the adverse effects. Now, most of the adverse effects are simply the effects of too much acetylcholine. So, xerostomia is dry mouth. You block the salivary glands from secreting, you get dry mouth. Blurred vision, because you can't focus on close things anymore. And then photophobia, because your eyes are dilated, bright light hurts your eyes. Just like in I Am Legend. Elevation of intraocular pressure. If you dilate the eyes too much, you actually begin to get too much pressure inside the eyes, and it can actually hurt glaucoma. Urinary retention, if you relax the bladder too much, you start to get urinary retention. What's the problem with urinary retention? Say again? Yeah, but what's the problem with it? Yeah, it's more likely to cause infection. You need to get rid of urine because urine is a very nutrient-rich environment, or bacteria can come in and set up shop. Constipation, if you slow down the intestines too much, you can get constipation. And anhydrosis, an meaning no, hydro meaning water. So this is when you don't sweat, because sweat glands, even though they're under the sympathetic control, are controlled by muscarinic receptors. So what's the problem if a person doesn't sweat? Body temperature can go up. And then tachycardia, if you slow the heart, if you raise the heart rate too much, you can go tachy, meaning fast, cardia, tachycardia. And then asthma, so, if you dry out the secretions of the bronchioles, you can get really thick and crusty, thick, tenacious, nasty sputum. And then dementia, because it causes the CNS excitability, it can actually cause dementia or make dementia worse. So when you're dealing with old patients who have Alzheimer's disease, one of the things we want to try and do is minimize drugs that have anticholinergic side effects. Now, we're talking in this case about atropine, but any drug that has anticholinergic side effects has the potential for these things to happen. It makes it worse. We'll talk about it more when we get to dementia next semester, though.